Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
If you order something online, how does it get to you? By road? Maybe it's flown in. Well, you might not think it, but a staggering 90% of all globally traded goods are carried by ships, many of which rely on intra-country waterways to get from A to B. These often giant or sometimes surprisingly tiny waterways are used to cut down travel times so that your Amazon package gets to you faster. But that's not all they're built for. From providing impossible-looking passageways across countries to the narrow straits giant ships are launched in, let's take a look at some of the most important waterways and how they've changed the world around them.
You're listening to Be Amazed.
Considered one of the most ambitious construction projects in history, the 50-mile-long Panama Canal provides a route between the Pacific and Atlantic Oceans, significantly reducing the distance and time required for ships to pass between the two. How significantly? Well, before its completion in 1914, ships had to go the long way round, all the way down to South America's Cape Horn. It took 10 long years of drilling through solid rock with more than 3.5 billion cubic feet of dirt removed, creating a trench 290 feet wide, 10 stories deep, and more than 130 football fields in length. And this was all done with dynamite pickaxes and your great-granddaddy's coal-powered steam shovels. But by providing a link through Panama, the journey between the two oceans was shortened by a whopping 9,000 miles. What would have been a 2-month voyage over the dangerous waves and violent winds of the Cape had been reduced to a 10-hour canal crossing. Who doesn't love a shortcut? It does, however, come at a price. Depending on the size of the vessel, it can cost between $500,000 to $800,000 to use. That's a steep toll for sure. But the savings in distance, time, and fuel make this canal's efficiency a worthwhile expense. Though you have to ask, why is it so expensive? Part of it is because the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans are actually different heights, so the Panama Canal is fitted with a series of locks, which are essentially tiny chambers, less than 1,000 feet long and 110 feet wide. Each has a gate that allows water in or out to lift and lower boats to different water levels. When the boat needs to be lifted, an inlet gate is opened and water is let into the chamber, raising the vessel. When it needs to be lowered, the outlet gate is opened and water is released from the chamber. As you can imagine, there's a lot of water that needs to be shifted, and the locks need to be well maintained, hence the hefty price of passage. But it's thanks to this amazing feature that massive ships can make a smooth transition from one sea to the next. This doesn't stop larger vessels over 100 feet wide from sometimes looking stuck, though. Used primarily for U.S. ships to travel to Asia, this 10-year mammoth construction project now sees 13 to 14,000 ships pass through it each year, with an average $2.6 billion made in traffic revenue. Can I make some sort of canal-based joke here? Or has that ship sailed? Back at the start of the 20th century, Texas was home to the Buffalo Bayou, a swampy, marshy waterway which stretched from the coast to the heart of Texas. But it was so badly overgrown, only a few steamboats and shallow draft boats could navigate it. Then in 1909, the potential of having a waterway that could stretch from the Gulf of Mexico to Harris County, Texas, suddenly dawned on the locals. They spent 5 years clearing and dredging 50 miles of the bayou until it was some 500 feet wide and 45 feet deep. And today, the aptly named Houston Ship Canal is one of America's most efficient waterways, providing a link between Houston and the rest of the world. In 2022, it set a record as 55 million tons of cargo passed through it that year alone. It links together hundreds of enterprises with its connected industrial complex alone valued at $3 billion, employing some 55,000 people. Today it returns over $800 billion in economic value, taking up 20% of Texas's total GDP. The impact this one channel has had on the mighty US of A can't be ignored, especially considering that the Port of Houston was the first to introduce container shipping in the States. And the channel pretty much opened up the American South to networks all around the world, making the waterways one of the country's busiest. It's so vital to Texas's ability to trade worldwide that if it had remained some swampy little bayou, it's likely Texas would never have experienced the growth and wealth it has done. Now it's set to undergo its 11th major expansion with a whopping $1 billion investment. The project intends to widen the channel further to an enormous 700 feet. Whoa, just what on earth are they planning on shipping down there? The entire Alamo? Between the immense Panama Canal and the incredible Houston Ship Channel, which do you personally find more impressive? The Panama Canal is undeniably iconic, but the effort of all those locals put into the Houston is just as amazing. I'm torn. Okay, pop quiz time. What's the longest man-made canal in the entire world? Don't know? Okay, try this. What's the oldest man-made canal in the world? Still no idea? What if I told you the answer to both is the same? No? Man, what do they teach kids in school these days? The answer is China's Grand Canal, which is 1,114 miles long and was only considered complete after a staggering 2,000 years. Those sections are being reconstructed and renovated to this day. It's almost impossible to believe, right? Well, let me shock you even further. Prior to the Industrial Revolution, the Grand Canal was considered the world's largest and most expansive engineering project. It was conceived to unify inland communication for the Sui Dynasty Empire, as well as to send troops, materials, and food to feed the population. Construction on this beast began way back in 486 BCE, and with sections built, abandoned, and rebuilt over the years, it's believed more than 9 million people were involved in its construction, including its 21 gateways and 60 bridges. This waterway runs from Beijing all the way to Hangzhou and connects two of China's largest rivers, the Yangtze and Yellow, with an estimated 100,000 vessels passing through each year. It also transports 260 million tons of cargo annually, continually boosting the country's economy. At its peak use during the 15th and 16th centuries, approximately 400,000 tons of grain were transported along it each year. In its earlier construction history, straw, stone, clay, and earth were all used to build elements of the waterway. But it became such an essential transport link that by 1958, work was underway to allow the canal to carry ships that weighed up to 600 tons each. And now it can support medium-sized barge vessels along its entire length. Whew, that's one grand history. It certainly lives up to its name. Now, amazing maritime architecture isn't all about trade routes and cargo. It can also be used to make your morning commute easier. Instead of building a bridge over the water, the Netherlands has created a bridge of water. It can be found over the busy N302 road, which links the mainland to a large artificial island called Flevoland, across the bordering Lake Valui. Back in the early 2000s, engineers wanted a way of connecting Lake Valui to Lake Wolderwich, for all the maritime traffic, which was separated by the road. A typical drawbridge wouldn't do that, because some 28,000 vehicles use the road every day, and waiting for a drawbridge to open and close would cause some serious tailbacks. So they proposed an 82-foot long, 62-foot wide, and 9-feet deep aqueduct that would allow vessels to pass over the road like a bridge built specially for boats. And it came out at a better price, too. Compared to the $61 million aqueduct, a drawbridge with many moving parts can cost hundreds of millions of dollars. So, design confirmed, the Velomir aqueduct was built back in 2002, using over 700,000 cubic feet of concrete and steel to hold the water weight above the roadway. With this mammoth stronghold, it's able to prevent water spilling out the sides onto the highway. No one wants their car swimming along the roads. Unfortunately, large ships are unable to cross the aqueduct because they generally have an average draft, that is how deep they sit in the water, of 30 to 50 feet. With the bridge only having a 9-foot depth, it's used by small to medium-sized vessels only. Shame. Seeing a gigantic cruise ship pass over your car would certainly make the morning commute a little more eventful. The aptly named Volga-Don Canal is a ship channel that links the Russian rivers of, you guessed it, Volga and Don. It provides the only route through the Caspian and Azov Seas to the main oceans, making it a very important shipping route. So important that works initially started all the way back in the 16th century. Some 30 subsequent attempts were made to connect the rivers, but all ended in failure. Even Russian Tsar Peter the Great tried and failed to connect the two routes. It wouldn't be until 1948, under Soviet rule, that the canal and its facilities would be built and connected. It required the manpower of 900,000 people in total, with the canal completed just 4 years later in 1952, sitting at 262 feet wide, 26 feet deep, and 62 miles long. Much like the Panama Canal, the two connected rivers are at different heights, so the canal possesses 13 locks, 9 of which are used to ascend to the Volga, and 4 used to descend to the Don. And while it was completed more than 50 years ago, it still remains one of the most world-changing waterways to this day. Not only did it serve as a symbol of power for the Soviet Union, it provided Russia with valuable links to the international market as a trade route to the Black Sea. This has proved incredibly beneficial to the region's economy and continues to do so. It has prevented ships from sailing all the way around the Caspian Sea, and its power stations generate enough electricity to make most of the mechanisms along the canal self-sufficient. What a way to make a statement. Rotterdam is a Dutch city that's famous for its many, many, many canals. A lot of these waterways, called singles, were built to prevent the spread of cholera in the 19th century. They did this by cleverly flushing all infected sewage and waters out to sea. However, the Winschoterdiep waterway in Groningen is used to release something completely different into its waters. Ships. Located on the banks of the canal, the Ferris Smith Shipyard is one of the most famous in the world. They have built and launched 470 ships and counting, with 6 to 8 delivered every year. One such trading giant, the Arklow Accord, has been built to transport products like wheat and corn on European waterways and is a massive 390 feet in length. These ships are seriously impressive, but not as impressive as the way they're launched. You see, these ships can reach more than 400 feet long, but are only around 50 feet wide. This makes them perfect to travel the narrow canal straits. Now, the Winschoterdiep is 328 feet wide on average, but these gigantic vessels are so narrow, Ferris Smith can launch them in sections that are less than 100 feet wide. However, they still make a big impact, and because this section of the canal runs right beside a public road, when a giant ship is launched, the splash often hits the other side of it. So this fairly thin canal may not look like much, but it can certainly take the weight of Ferris Smith's vessels, which is a feat in itself.
One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
But the Erie Canal might just be one of America's fastest money makers. The waterway, which opened for business in 1821, links the Great Lakes to the Hudson River and the Atlantic Ocean, making it some 351 miles long. It became an instant success. Used by merchant ships, it was responsible for reducing the cost of transportation by up to a staggering 95%. That's ridiculous. But how did it manage this? Well, back before railroads and water transport were the primary ways bulk goods were shipped, the reliance was on animals, like mules. Now, mules can only carry about 250 pounds of goods on land, but they can draw a barge in the water weighing up to 60,000 pounds, some 30 tons, along a towpath. To carry goods from Buffalo to New York, it cost about $100 a ton before the Erie was constructed. After its completion, the mule's now capable of hauling 240 times more cargo per trip. That cost came crashing down to just $10 a ton. That's a serious price drop. And that's not this canal's only remarkable legacy. The Erie is responsible for encouraging canal construction statewide after turning New York into a major commercial center. Many engineers working on the canal went on to construct many other valuable waterways and railroads in the U.S. thanks to their work on the Erie. Its usage kept strong into the 20th century, becoming an indispensable shipping route that connected many cities. Nowadays, tourist ships are the main source of traffic, turning the main stretch of the canal into a destination hotspot. Man, this waterway has had more evolutions than a Pokemon. It put New York on the map, for one. It birthed a whole network of American canal routes from its popularity, and it reduced a two-week stagecoach journey to a five-day voyage by water and saved merchants a literal ton. Consider me eerily impressed. Now, when someone says the name Klong, you may think they're trying to imitate a grandfather clock. But actually, the Klongs refer to a whole network of canals in Thailand, which remarkably predate large roads. It's believed they were first dug into the landscape over 600 years ago and built by local residents to allow merchant ships to move through the country freely. Connected by three large rivers, Chao Phraya, Mae Klong, and Tha Chin, the 1,682 Klongs collectively span some 1,618 miles in length and form an impressive spider's web of shipping routes and sewer routes in the capital of Bangkok alone. To this day, food, textiles, pottery, and building materials are all transported to different towns via the canals, even being sold by the water in floating markets. Sounds like something from a sci-fi film, doesn't it? These Klongs ruled Thailand's transportation scene before Europeans became increasingly frustrated at having to float everywhere. With rising Western influence, roads started to overtake the canals, and some were sadly buried and built over. Today, they function more as a tourist route, which has saved the Klongs from falling into disuse entirely. In fact, roads only take up 8% of the area of Bangkok, proving that these waterways are still an essential transport system. Heck, they're probably quicker than driving, too. People have historically lived beside these canals, which is one of the scariest things I could think of. Who wouldn't be terrified of flooding? But strong embankments, stilts, and barges keep all these homes afloat. Thai architecture continues to build new flood-resistant houses that are anchored to the shores. Fitted with steel pontoons and filled with styrofoam, they can lift the structure 9 feet from the ground when water infiltrates. Whoa, now that's working smarter, not harder. Okay, whatever you do on this next waterway, don't look down. This awe-inspiring structure is the, hang on, let me get this right, Pontca Sultay Aqueduct? Yeah, that'll do. If there are any Welsh people watching, please rate my Welsh down below. The 18-arc stone structure was built back in 1805 in Wales, and at an amazing 126 feet tall, it still stands as the highest aqueduct in the entire world today. For the early 19th century, this kind of engineering was completely unheard of. It was part of a very risky career move from architect Thomas Telford, who designed this aqueduct for narrow boats carrying coal. Part of the Llangolan Canal, it made journeys between the steep valleys separating northeast Wales and England much easier. At the time of its completion, the structure was 3 times the size of existing aqueducts, making Telford's project a groundbreaking achievement. Today, if you're brave enough, it even sports a footpath. The path thankfully has iron railings on one side, but on the other side, nothing. It's completely open to the air and, gravity. Even so, many boats and even paddle boarders cross the aqueduct every day. With only one set of railings to prevent you going over, and with the channel being only 12 feet wide, it looks more like a dangerous watery tightrope act than a typical aqueduct voyage. Would you be bold enough to cross this waterway? Now, this next Grecian canal boasts a pretty unique world record. It's the deepest waterway in the entire world, at a scary 259 feet deep. But for all its depth, this waterway, called the Corinth Canal, is only 81 feet wide, meaning ships sometimes struggle to squeeze through its slim passageway, with vessels wider than 58 feet unable to cross it altogether. Its jagged walls have also been known to cause landslides, blocking the canal itself. When ships can successfully pass through, the waterway connects the Corinthian Gulf of the Ionian Sea to the Saronic Gulf of the Aegean Sea. This once prevented ships from having to navigate 400 miles around the dangerous Peloponnese Peninsula, the underwater rocks and ragged coastline of which can cause some serious damage. This was a problem that ships faced a long time ago, as far back as the 7th century BCE. Periander, the ruler of Corinth at the time, knew the treacherous peninsula journey could be avoided by linking the two seas. But the technology needed to carve out such a waterway through more than 250 feet of sheer rock was just not advanced enough. Many tried throughout history, including the Roman emperors Nero and Julius Caesar, but none could hack it. Literally. Attempts recommenced in 1881, but it was so costly to cut through the rock it literally bankrupted its wannabe builders. It was finally completed in 1893 after countless failed attempts and more than 30 million francs, some $175 million today, of costs. And at long last, Periander's vision was complete. This canal might have been easy for 19th century ships to pass through, but certainly not the larger models today, which can reach more than 225 feet across, almost 3 times the width of the Corinth. Despite this, it's still in use and sees 15,000 ships sail through it per year. Wow, this canal has a rich history that lies deep beneath those beautiful blue waters. Really, really deep. Do you remember back in 2021 when headlines were dominated by a global panic? No, not about COVID-19, but about a ship that had gotten stuck in the Suez Canal. The ship, which was called the Ever Given, owned by the Evergreen Company, had drifted and run aground in the canal, holding up ships in both directions. One ship blocking one canal might not seem like such a big deal, but based on the value of the goods passing through the Suez each day, for the 151 hours it was stuck there, it's estimated to have cost a bank-breaking $60.4 billion in trade. Yeah, that's billion with a B. This catastrophic event made it clear just how vital the Suez Canal is to our global trade systems. You see, this waterway connects the Gulf of Suez in Egypt with the Mediterranean Sea and makes it possible for Europe to easily access these regions. Because the water levels on both sides are roughly equal, the sea moves freely down this route, no locks required. So at 120 miles long and just over 670 feet wide, the Suez cuts travel between Asia and Europe by a staggering 4,300 miles. It particularly impacts those traveling from the Persian Gulf to Northern Europe because that trip around Africa is some 13,000 miles and takes about 24 days. But using the Suez Canal, the trip is just 7,000 miles and takes less than 2 weeks. All that time gone like magic. But it wasn't wizardry that built the Suez Canal, it was 1.5 million people. When work started on this mega project back in 1859, these workers were responsible for moving an estimated 2,613 million cubic feet of earth, 600 million on land, and 2,013 million through dredging to make this canal a reality. And even then, it took a decade to build and finally opened in 1869. Before then, any connection between the Red Sea and the Mediterranean was considered impossible, so land routes were used to trade goods across countries. Horse-drawn vehicles and trains had to be used between Britain and Africa, resulting in journeys that could take at least 6 months. This canal has continually been expanded through the years, allowing increasingly bigger cargo ships to use its waterways, making it more and more valuable to the global shipping industry. It was enlarged in 2014 with a side channel opened to one section in 2016. And modern technology has made it possible to expand it even further, with future plans promising to add more than 44 miles of new channels and bypasses. This project hopes to increase the volume of passing ships from 49 to 97 a day, more than doubling its current annual revenue from $5.3 billion to $13.2 billion. Wow. The Suez is really making bank, and I ain't talking about riverbanks. Over in China, one of the most ambitious maritime projects in history is currently under construction, one destined to quench the country's massive thirst. At present, roughly a third of China's 1.3 billion strong population live in the north, an area much drier than the south. But instead of moving an entire population further south for water, the South to North Diversion Project will bring water to the north. The project involves building three main canals, two of them more than 800 miles long each. These will divert water from three of the country's major rivers, the Yangtze River, the Yellow River, and the Han River. And not just a small amount of water, but some 12 trillion gallons every year. That's more water than there is in the entire Hoover Dam reservoir. This is a massive undertaking, and with more than $79 billion poured into the project since it was launched in 2002, it's one of the most ambitious engineering projects to date. And part of that comes down to the inclusion of structures like the Shahi Aqueduct, which is the world's largest aqueduct ever built. Within the Shahi, four water channels run parallel to one another, 7.5 miles long, 26 feet wide, and 24 feet high, each of them transporting separate water streams. Made from reinforced concrete, each prefabricated flume, that is to say each segment constructed in a factory, transported and installed on site, weighs up to 1,200 tons. So this was no small task to construct, and while the Shahi is now in full use, the full South to North Diversion Project has an estimated completion date of 2050. Still, China will hopefully be securing the water access and welfare of many future generations to come. So I guess if you can't go with the flow, you make the flow go with you. Thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll see you again next time you want to be amazed.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.